Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Thursday. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Halftime. Thursday night football, the Falcons and the Panthers, 16-14. I know. We had a night off. Now we have games again. Falcons and the Panthers, but it is a close game. The Falcons will somehow find a way to be leading late before they make a horrible mistake and give this game to the Carolina Panthers. It's kind of how things work. I'm just wondering, Mike, which is the way they're going to do it? How are they going to be so close to victory and yet give the game away at the end? Because that's how the ending is going to be.
Just keep kicking field goals. That's really what it is. You dominate in terms of yardage, 251 to 149, total plays 37 to 21, but you've settled for three Younghoe field goals in the first half, not finishing drives. That's how they'll give this game away. We may see him like Blankenship of the Colts another two or three times before the Zohar. Oh, and they like to commit penalties, already 4 for 43 today. So we'll look for more lack of discipline and the lack of guts. On that first possession, 4th and inches from the 3, you're 1 and 6, and you don't have the stones to try to call a play. This was the Raheem Morris looking at you going, you know, analytics tell me I should do this. You know what? Blake analytics, I watched what happened the other day. Screw you, and I'm kicking the field goal.
And also, we didn't get past the whole don't score a touchdown thing. So there's that. I mean,
there's
a lot of confusion. We told the guy not to score a touchdown. He scored. Now we're going to tell him to get 4th and 1. He's going to probably take a knee. So I don't know that that's something that's going to work for us. No, we try to get that. No. We know we wanted you to really take a knee on that 4th and 1.
But you know though? Todd Gurley missed a bunch of time in that first half. It might actually be a knee.
Yeah, 5 carries for 8 yards for Todd Gurley. Hill carrying 7 times for 35 yards for him. So Atlanta has the lead. But one of the big stories of the first half, in addition to how Atlanta will end up blowing this game, is Teddy Bridgewater, who for the second time this season has a perfect quarterback rating in the first half of a game. In the rest of the National Football League, that has only happened one time. So Teddy Bridgewater playing pretty well. Look, the Panthers are 3-4. And yes, they've been without Christian McCaffrey, but they'd probably be, what do you think? Maybe he flips one game for them, they'd be 4-3.
Yeah.
But they'd still be around this way. Teddy Bridgewater has played really well. He has played to the... This is what you're seeing from Bridgewater these past few games is he's now back to where he was, maybe even a little bit better than he was with the Vikings before the knee injury. Because Teddy Bridgewater was never a guy that's going to win a passing title. He's not a guy that's going to throw for 35 touchdowns in a year. He's not going to throw for 4,000 yards. He is a guy that's going to do whatever the game needs him to do. And he's kind of like, if you put out, what's a game manager that's got a little bit more skill, that can win games, that can be a pretty good leader? That's Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, that's who he's been since he came into the league. I thought he'd be a little bit more dynamic, but this is someone who's going to be really solid, complete a large percentage of his passes, not for a lot of yards, but he's not going to hurt you. He's going to keep you in games, and it's one of those times where you can look at your quarterback position and say, okay, we're fine there. Let's look at other things. Let's look at what else we need to do to improve this team, because what we have right now is not a guy who's average. We got a guy who's a little bit above average, and if he plays that way, we're pretty happy. We don't need to replace Teddy Bridgewater because the rest of the team is okay. He's playing well. He's running the football well outside the pocket. He is back to that player he was when the Vikings looked like they could take that next step in the NFC.
Yeah, and he steps up in the pocket and he takes off. You know, he's not afraid to use his legs. That was one of the questions when you come back from an injury like he did. He also knows that guys can't blow him up for long on the sidelines, so he steals an extra couple of yards. can't fault a good strategy, although eventually he's going to get trucked trying that move. But you got Samuel and you got DJ Moore. Everybody loves DJ Moore. And when I say DJ Moore, I hear Pat Summerall's voice in my head. The one thing they're missing, Ian Thomas, I don't know that he's the tight end they need. I think they need a better option there. And eventually you've already signed McCaffrey. So offensively, you're fine. And what did Matt Rhule do? Used every draft pick on defense this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be young, hungry, and aggressive, and they're just going to keep getting better. So it's built for success. You know, we always talk about you need the cheap quarterback. Well, you don't have the cheap one, but you don't have the high-end model. And then you've got your starting defense over the next couple of years. You're going to be paying them a pittance, relatively speaking, if these guys develop as you would expect them to. And I like the way they play. You know, we talked about it a little bit. It's kind of like the way Miami plays for Brian Flores. You could see that for Matt Rhule already. While they may not be there fully talent-wise to be among the leaders, they play hard, and they're going to give you a full 60 minutes. So second half's going to be highly entertaining here.
Right now, again, Atlanta with the lead over Carolina, 16-14. Davis got blown up on a screen pass. They're looking at it to see if he had it, made a football move, and then fumbled because, boy, did
he
get
licked.
A lick.
Yeah, you can see he's down.
This could wind up being Falcons' ball right around midfield as they look at it right now. Again, it's kind of a messy field with the rain. Commercial break in the game, 16-14. Falcons with the lead. We'll keep you updated on this throughout the day and night. At all. But obviously the big topic that broke about an hour or so ago, the best quarterback in college football will not play this week, and most likely he could be out for next week as well. Trevor Lawrence of Clemson. The Jets didn't do this to him, so stop right there.
Yeah, how bad did your phone blow up when this
news? As soon as it happened,
because I know
like,
I hit
happened.
You guys up immediately.
Something happened. What happened? Oh, Trevor Lawrence has COVID. Trevor Lawrence, the well-assumed number one overall pick in the draft, Heisman Trophy favorite, best quarterback prospect the last 10 years in the National Football League, will miss this weekend's game against Boston College as he has tested positive for COVID-19. Lawrence put out a message on social media not too long ago saying he feels fine. He looks forward to getting back on the field as soon as possible, and he's going to be definitely out this weekend. Dabo Sweeney, head coach of Clemson, saying that as well, echoing that we're not going to have him this week. Now, the big question is going to be, okay, next week you got an even bigger game against Notre Dame, and depending on where you're at with COVID-19 protocols, with having to isolate and stay away, the big 10-day window that's out there could get into that game as well. So depending on when this was learned, when he took the test, they could be without him next weekend as well. So that's two more games in Clemson season. And already, Mike, the topic's out there, well, he should stop playing, he's done, he shouldn't play anymore, get ready for the NFL, all of these things. I understand this, right? I understand this.
Sure.
Because we watched it with Zion Williams when he had that really bad injury, when his sneaker blew out, and it was, why come back? This is your knee. This is something that you really have to worry about. And it's a different situation with Zion Williamson than it is with Trevor Lawrence. Zion Williamson has had a history of injuries, and staying healthy is a thing. And here's a knee injury, and why are you rushing back for two or three games where you could hurt your value and you want to walk away from this and get back into basketball when you are fully healthy, when you're back with an NBA team that can take even better care of you than they can in college? Trevor Lawrence already said, why go back, why go back, why go back? All right, well, time out for a second. First thing is, Trevor Lawrence, this is an illness, and this is something that hopefully, and knock wood, just like it is with a lot of young people, you can get past this very quickly and be ready to go back and play. We see it all the time in sports now. Positive test, couple days later, they test negative. Okay, they go through the process, they're back and they're playing. So this is kind of how it is for athletes, especially younger athletes, a guy like Trevor Lawrence who is in this situation. So there's no doubt in my mind he will come back and play. Football is just different than basketball. All right. If you are not playing for anything, well, then okay, I understand. If Clemson was 3-4, and they weren't playing for anything, I get maybe, all right, maybe you don't want to worry about this. You're the number one overall pick in the draft. But you're playing for the playoff. You're playing to win the national championship. I mean, you're a leader of a team. You don't walk out when you have a chance to win a championship. This is why it's also very different, because you put so much on the line every week. Every player sacrifices their bodies in the NFL and college football to go win games. So it's a different thing than the NBA. It just is. And when you can win a title, hey, great, he should go out and play. Now, if they lose a couple of games and suddenly it's, well, I could go play in the Poinsettia Bowl or, well, then that's a different story. But you're playing to go to the playoff and win the national championship. You come back to play. There is no doubt in my mind Trevor Lawrence comes back and plays.
Oh, yeah. This isn't even a question, unless somehow we get note that he ends up having, you know, full-blown symptoms and problems, whereas right now he feels fine. So, and according to Brent McMurphy, contact tracing, everything, nothing's come back positive for anybody else. So you've got the – look, we have to make note of this, but all these athletes, all of them have really, outside of Major League Baseball, had, what, two guys that it became an issue. Everybody else had their week, 2 weeks, and they were back and feeling fine. In the NFL, we've had the, all right, you were out for your 5 days plus, all right, welcome back. For Trevor Lawrence, it's all, and for going into Wisconsin and these others, it's just, what are the protocols that were put forth by the conference? Have they decided to make changes, right? We had a lot of conversation weeks ago about myocarditis, and then we saw the report yesterday, well, that it's really not affecting many. It was all speculation, and a guy that, you know, hearing whispers of what a number was, put that out, and all of a sudden that became the death knell of, all right, now you got to quarantine for 3-4 weeks, and, you know, you shouldn't be allowed to play it because of this erroneous data point. So it'll be curious to see from the Big Ten and from the ACC, do you change protocols based on guys and how quickly they respond. So, but in the interim, we get to be acquainted with DJ Uweanagalele. There you go. Big long name for you. Uweanagalele. So try saying that. They'll just call him DJ on
yeah,
the broadcast.
Yeah, that's what it's
going to
be. Oh,
guess.
What a great play by DJ. What yeah. a great play. Oh, look at that play by DJ.
Yeah,
it's
no,
like they call Giannis is just Giannis now.
No, that's
it's
right.
It's just Giannis.
And Tua is still Tua.
Tua is going to be Tua. A touchdown Tua. That's
right, because we'll hear that against the Rams this week, and we'll finally have that tested as well on the National Football League level. But I'm with you. You know, this isn't a meaningless bowl game that you'd be coming back for, as we've seen guys with injuries. Hey, you going to come back and play? No. I'm done because there's nothing to play for. This guy's legitimately got another national championship to play for. And when you start talking about legacy and legend, you become a college football legend, because there's no promises that it all translates to the NFL. And you know, wink, wink, especially if you go to the Jets, .. But when we talk about what he is for the collegiate level, he finishes the job this year in this mutant season, and he misses a game or two with COVID-19 and comes back and leads them to a title. Yeah, that's pretty damn special, and will be remembered forever.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Now, the thing is, obviously, this is going to be another question about his future and what's going to happen to him, right? Here you can come back and look, obviously, number one, all our thoughts are always out there for any player testing positive of COVID and their quick health and return to play. But for everyone who wants to continue with the storyline of Trevor Lawrence could go back to school, that really isn't happening. I mean, not so much because of this, but this could be something that is one of those things that makes the final decision, okay, I'm not coming back. Look, Dabo Swinney even said today, before everything came out about Trevor Lawrence and his positive COVID-19 test, did an interview with Rich Cimini of the New York Post and said, you know, of course we'll welcome him back if he wants to come back, but I think he's going to the National Football League. So of all the things, of the two, he's not going to go back to Clemson. All right, that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help him. All he can do is fall. The NFL wants him now. He'll be the the number one overall pick for whoever gets there. And if he doesn't want to play there, that's a different story. But going back to Clemson, what you're going to risk is you're going to risk injury. You're going to risk someone passing you as the number one quarterback in the country. And you're going to risk dropping in the draft and many things when you don't have to. This is why when the NFL calls, you go. And for all this, oh, we could stay in school. It's nice to think that. It's nice to think I can go back and wait another year to come back. That's not college football now in 2020. With this season we're having, nobody knows what next season's going to be like with COVID restrictions. This is one of those years where, look, they're lucky they're even playing. We're having games canceled right and left. Could he possibly say, I want to go back and have one last roundup? No. That's not – Peyton Manning was different. Peyton Manning was that guy 20 years ago that said, I'd rather go back to school. I don't know that I feel great about the Jets. I want to have one more year. I have a lot of years to play in the National Football League. He was that one guy. Lawrence is more about what's going to happen if he doesn't like where he is in the draft, if he doesn't like who's there for him. But going back to school, that's just not in the cards for him. I mean, they would push him out. Dabo Sweeney said, dude, you have to go. Come on, man. You got to go. You got to go. You know, we'll pick number one pick, right? At this point last year, Tua was the number one pick, right? He was the number one pick. Then what happened? He got hurt. Joe Burrow played great. Joe Burrow went number one. All right, now obviously Tua's going to get his chance. He's a franchise quarterback, number two with Miami. But when you stay an extra year, you put that into place. Matt Leinart won the Heisman Trophy. Should have gone to the National Football League. Would have been the number one overall pick in the draft. What happened the next year? He wasn't as good. He wasn't the shiny toy anymore. Other guys played better. What happened? He went 10th. To the Arizona Cardinals. And what happens when you go 10th? They can move on from you a little bit faster. You don't get as much chance to prove you're a starting quarterback in the NFL. Now, obviously, Lawrence is a better prospect than Matt Leinart, and one of the best, but you still don't know what happens until the footballs fly for real in the NFL. You want to have as much chance to make it and have as much chance to be a franchise quarterback as possible, and you put that in jeopardy because nothing can happen next year other than, okay, it's another roll of the dice to see who winds up getting that number one pick. And maybe it's another team I don't want to go to. Maybe it's the Lions. Maybe it could be anybody. So the possibility of him going back to school, that's just not even there. Not even close.
No, zero. I would have put the odds of him challenging the system if this season had been canceled more than anything. Now, you only have to be three calendar years out, so I guess technically he wouldn't have to fight that. But I would have thought you'd see that more so than, hey, I'm deciding to come back to Clemson. He'll say all the right things now, get all the boosters fired up and excited, right? The comments he had last week saying, oh, I don't know, anything's on the table. We'll let God decide and choose, you know, our path, and it's all good. And you know, his religion, his conviction carries him, but there's a lot of good you can do with going number one overall and a nice giant signing bonus. You can do a lot of good in the world right away. Not that he's not at Clemson, but as we've seen, some of the stuff he's tried to do, they've put the kibosh on in the past. So you move forward. You don't leave things open to chance. Offensive lineman gets hurt or two, suddenly things get a little bit leaky. Not that you don't have a razor-sharp five-star guy behind, but it does change the equation a bit. Leave nothing to chance. Go in and make your mark, even if it is leading the Jets back to greatness.
Now, I'll tell you, listen, I am not going to take it personal when people say don't go to the Jets. We're going to get into that coming up later.
I think he should. Come on.
But there's a reason why I'm not going to take, because I know what's going on with the media now. I know what's going on with the
media. They hate you.
And I'm not going to take it personal. No. Okay. I said I'm not going.
They're like Oral Hershiser. They don't like you.
Even though Rob Parker said today on the Odd Couple, Jason Smith's 76 years old. He's doing on a radio show all the time. It's awesome. I will not take it personal because of that. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. AutoZone is America's number one battery destination. No matter what battery problems you're dealing with, you can find your battery solution at AutoZone. AutoZone offers free battery testing so that you don't spend money on something you don't actually need. AutoZone offers free battery charging if you're simply in need of a fresh charge. AutoZone has more ways for you to shop for your battery needs, like same-day pickup, in-store, or curbside. Next time you're having starting trouble, start at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. So why will I not take it personally on Trevor Lawrence? I'll tell you. Plus, guess who's back in Major League Baseball? Mike Harmon.
Yes,
we're
sir.
We're going to get into that.
I'm
coming up next.
I'm so excited.
Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
On November 6th and 7th, the world's best thoroughbreds will compete in 14 exhilarating races worth $31 million in purses and awards at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more about the Breeders' Cup World Championships at BreedersCup.com/2020. That's BreedersCup.com/2020. Well, one thing we learned in the Thursday night game is that the Falcons should go for it on fourth down, and the Panthers probably shouldn't. The Panthers were stopped on fourth down for the second time in the game, and for the second time, Atlanta gets a field goal. As a result, the Panthers were set to punt a few moments ago on fourth and two near midfield. Matt Rhule called everybody back. They gave the ball to Davis, who never even made it to the line of scrimmage. The Falcons go down.
It was a butt tackle.
Yeah, it was one of those like butt fumble things where he just ran into it, and bam, he just hit the ground.
Yeah.
Falcons get a field goal. They now lead it 19-14 with about 6.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Teddy Bridgewater still having a big night, but no longer a perfect passer rating. 112 yards and a touchdown, and apparently it's going to be really impossible for him to throw one pass to DJ Moore. I mean, seriously, yep. He's got no catches and one target tonight. It's going to kill him not to throw one to DJ Moore.
I know, buddy. It's killing you as you've watched this unfold. A lot of Curtis Samuel. Get the ball into Curtis Samuel's hands however you can. And DJ Moore came in smoking hot. I mean, white hot over the last couple of weeks, too. Calvin Ridley out for the remainder of this one on a tackle. He twisted an ankle earlier as he was taken to the ground.
So we'll keep you updated on this a little bit more before we get to the big baseball news of the day, which is really insane. But, you know, I told you, look, Trevor Lawrence testing positive for COVID-19, and he's going to miss this weekend's game, possibly next weekend's game against Notre Dame as well. He's doing okay, says he's fine, and he looks forward to getting back and playing as soon as possible. And now more of the cries are going to come up, oh, go to the NFL, don't go to the Jets, don't go to the Jets, don't go to the Jets. I told you earlier, I'm not going to take this personal, because while the Jets are a train wreck, okay, usually if you're finishing with the number one overall pick, your team is a train wreck. Yes, it's embarrassing because of things that happen because you have a really bad head coach in Adam Gase. But when I hear everybody, whether it's Tim Tebow or Roddy White or any analyst say, fight the system, you know, make your move, tell them you're not going to sign with the Jets, you want to trade someplace else. This isn't anybody looking out for Trevor Lawrence's best interest.
No, they want theater.
You know what this is? This is just people who want to see something happen.
Yep.
It would be anything. If it was the Browns at number one, they would say, don't go to the Browns. Look at the Browns. They're a train wreck. If it was the Lions at number one, don't go to the Lions. They're a train wreck. No, use your power as an athlete. Use your power and say, I'm not going to go there. And this story is just mushrooming out of control. Are the Jets the best team? No, they really stink. But this is what happens when you get the number one overall pick. The Jets will have a head coach in there, whether it's Eric Bieniemy or somebody else. They will have a head coach, and things will be better. They will get better players. They have money under the salary cap. You're starting over at number one. That's kind of how it goes. Joe Burrow went to the Bengals. Everything is fine. But everybody who's pushing this narrative is not pushing it because they want what's best for Trevor Lawrence. They want a little bit of attention, and they want to say, let players show your power. And I'm like, okay, there's certain things I want players to show their power on, but suddenly to say, I'm not going to go play for this team, all right, now you're the sense of we're going to change the draft all the time, we're going to have people do this. And this is kind of how the NFL works, and everybody's been doing pretty well with this for a while. So anybody that says that, they don't really care about the Jets. They don't say, it's not like they've spent time with the team and saying, oh, this is terrible. They just want that narrative for whatever selfish reason, to make themselves look good or to say, ha, look, players got one over on the big powers that be in the NFL. Strike one blow for me because I can't strike it anymore because no one wants to sign Tim Tebow and Roddy White's not playing. And to strike a blow for me and tell the NFL, no, you are not going to do it because I'm still mad at the NFL for all our collective bargaining things. This is what's going on with Trevor Lawrence. So I'm not taking it personal. I know that it would be any team that would be this bad. They would say, no, don't go there. Let's stop and so we'll trade him to the Patriots. That's what's going to happen. So let's get him to a good team with a good guy. The Jets will make that trade with New England and get him to New England, and that's how it's going to go. And New England will trade the Jets Cam Newton and Julian Edelman, and that'll be the deal. No, I get it. It's not
Julian Edelman who can't get on the field anymore.
I get it. I understand exactly why they're doing it. I'm not going to take it personal.
Yeah, no, it's good fodder, right? It's good for us. It's a great story. It's a great teleplay. It's like scripted drama. And here it is. As we know, the NFL is the best drama show on all networks. Like, unless Trevor Lawrence were to lead an absolute revolt of saying, we're not going in via the draft and screw your CBA, we're not doing this anymore, we're all free agents and we have our own agency, that's, to me, if you go that route, that's cool. Beyond that, it's just a, hey, let's see if they upset the apple cart and cause some chaos, because we'll get to talk about it for a few months. And it's, maybe they have some hatred towards the Jets too, but I think overall it's really just wanting to have some theater and some drama leading into the draft. Beyond, all right, he's number one. All right, who's number two? Right, is it Fields? Mm-hmm. Who's trading up to number two? Right, I think people are just looking to add a little bit, and if you're a former player, you can chime in. If you're a guy like Tim Tebow, everybody's clamoring for the next bit that you've got, except for the merch that you're hawking. So, yeah, they're going to listen to you as one of the college greats. Well, what do you think of all this? Not that you were in the same place because you weren't going to go number one, but for Trevor Lawrence and player agency, which is one of the big topics, right, and at the collegiate level of trying to find ways to make sure money's flowing to players and changing that part of the landscape, that also how they enter the league certainly is something that could be looked at, but I don't think anybody's really getting that deep here.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. We have the big story on Tony La Russa coming up in a couple of minutes. However, and I feel like I jinxed the guy, Teddy Bridgewater is down and being looked at following a sack just seconds ago against the Falcons. The Falcons have a 5-point lead in this game. They had just pulled a fake punt for a first down. So the Panthers are driving, trying to get back in. It didn't look like he got hit on his knee, but it looks like they're definitely looking at his lower body. It looked like his knee kind of just came up a little bit, like if you're stretching too much, and that might be what it is with him. But right now, Teddy Bridgewater is down. He's being examined by the Panthers training staff, yep. And you cross your fingers and hope this isn't something serious for a guy that's been so long to try to get back to this point in the National Football
League.
Yeah,
off a late hit as well, yeah. So we'll see.
Yep, it's a very difficult moment right now, and we'll get to the late hit part of it, but let's talk about his health. Everybody have a good thought for him, because this guy has fought through so much to come back and play in the NFL. We'll have more coming up in 90 seconds, but first,
be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, well, it looks like for Teddy Bridgewater, a serious injury has been avoided. Right now, he's being looked at on the sideline, and it looks like they're going to look at his head and his neck after seeing replays of this. And look, this is a clear late hit on the Falcons, and it really is something that you can't defend this. Charles Harris comes in from behind as Teddy Bridgewater is already on the ground and comes in with his forearm and elbow into Teddy Bridgewater's head that kind of moves a little bit and scrunches its way to the side. So that's kind of what they're looking at for Teddy Bridgewater right now. I'm sure it's concussion test. They're going to test his neck to make sure he's okay. But he is walking around fine. He is walking around under his own power. And then they're looking at him under the tent on the sideline. And we'll have an update on Teddy Bridgewater when it comes. But clearly, Charles Harris, this is an incredibly dirty hit. And, you know, the way he came from behind, like he's behind the play. You know, and that's that, and that's what makes this even more dirty. Because if he had his momentum going at the quarterback, right? Because this is when we usually see this, Mike, is that a guy breaks through late and the quarterback throws in his follow through, and someone takes an extra step and hits him. Yes, it lowers his head, crown of the helmet. This is where Bridgewater is going down, and Harris is behind the play. He's behind the play, and he comes in saying, no, 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 I want to give Bridgewater a lick here, and he goes in with that hit. That is 100% dirty.
Yeah, he also got kicked going through, whether it was an attempted trip or just off balance as he was coming in. He got kicked by Dante Fowler. So you have that, and then Harris comes over. I guess you take some solace in that it was a forearm and shoulder rather than the helmet to helmet, because if he's down another 2 or 3 degrees, Bridgewater takes that one helmet to helmet. Instead, now he's in the tent, and we're watching immediately PJ Walker coming in and trying to stretch the field.
Yeah, this wasn't one of those, well, we got a guy coming, we're going to hand the ball off for a couple of plays. No. P.J. Walker just threw to the end zone a couple of times.
Threw to the end zone, then threw deep across the middle. They're going to end up settling for a field goal attempt by Sly here. But it was an impressive, all right, yeah, I'm not just here to hand off. Forget about three plays to Mike Davis. Let's get after it. So had a little zip on the ball, too. That was pretty good to see.
That's nice. And we just watched the field goal go through the upright. Sly is good. Make it 19-17. The Falcons with the lead. Less than 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Again, we'll have an update on Teddy Bridgewater as soon as we get one. And hopefully he is okay. Like I said, walking around under his own power. That's good news. He is now sitting on the bench, and he is looking at an iPad. So he's probably playing Words with Friends, or he's playing something. Maybe he's playing Minecraft.
Oh, he's playing Among Us, yeah.
Could be playing Roblox. Play, yeah. You know, all the kids play Roblox now. That's the big one.
Is that it? No.
Yeah. So if he's sitting there looking at an iPad, it tells me he's ready to go back in the game. Because okay. If he's coming out of the game, he's not looking at iPad, looking at formations. I can see what he's looking at on the iPad. That's pretty cool. He's got a whole set of formations on his iPad. He's scrolling through different formations. I might be able to tell you what plays they're going to run next. So I'm pretty sure he will come back in because you're not doing that if you're going to come out of the game. But at least the Panthers get points off of that, and they trail now 19-17. Now, Mike Harmon.
Yeah.
Something we're going to get into here.
You have a big way. Manager. Absolutely.
On your baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
He is 76 years old.
Yeah.
He last managed the team in 1986.
Sure he did.
He is baseball legend, three-time world champion, Tony La Russa. Everything that is old is new again, except for Tony La Russa in Chicago. Congratulations, my friend.
Right on, man. Hey, you know, I have a lot of questions about the hiring. Mm-hmm. None of them have to do with how old he is. So every sports radio host that wanted to try out their comedy act, every pundit that hit Twitter with things, jokes about the man's age, you're tired and you can beat it. Just hang up what's left of what you're doing for a living. You want to be critical of how they won titles in Oakland? That's fine. You want to be critical of some of the things he said, some of his actions? Absolutely. You want to question whether there's a divide a little bit with the players because of the old school, and not because he's old, but just he's not a celebration guy, as he brought up in his press conference. Okay, all of those things are valid. But if you're just going to say, oh, he's 76, you can just go back inside now and just hang up.
You know, the thing is, I get that everybody wants in your next coach or manager, whatever sport, right? Whatever sport it is, I want someone young. I want someone who can relate to the players. I want someone who's got the nod on analytics, but they also have a feel for the game, Kevin Cash. That's what I want. I want a guy who's young, can relate to players, analytics, but has a feel for the game. Tony La Russa is the exact opposite of that. He is not young. Relating to players is going to be a question. Analytics, well, I'll tell you this. He was way ahead of everybody because he was making 8 pitching changes a game way before it became the cool thing to do the last few years in Major League Baseball. I mean, Tony La Russa, I can't tell you how many times when I was working at ESPN as a PA in the early 90s, the A's were always the late game, basically, on Wednesday Night Baseball. Mm-hmm. When there was a doubleheader, we'd get an early game and a late game. And everybody wanted to get out early so they could go home. But every time the A's were on, there was such a groan from all of us going, this game's going to go forever because La Russa's going to change pitchers so many times. I'm not going to make last call at the bar. I'm not going to be able to do anything. Oh, this game is going to... And everybody just had that slump in their shoulders that, oh, La Russa's going to change pitchers the entire game. But in baseball, it's not football, right? It's not even the NBA. Baseball is the most timeless of sports. Strategies that worked 40 years ago work now. All right, it's not like other sport. The key is don't F up the bullpen in the playoffs. That's all they're asking of managers. Get us a, because talent wins in baseball more than it does in any other sport, because baseball is predicated on everyday excellence by your star players. Look at the teams who win the World Series. They're all loaded. Look at the managers who won the World Series the last 10 years. Are they all great managers? Would you say, boy, this guy turned Major League Baseball on its ear? No, you wouldn't say that. You know, you have some decent managers, but you have some guys, oh, okay, well, you are loaded with players. Don't screw up the bullpen in the playoffs, right? So now if it's Tony La Russa, who's done it better than him? The guy's had a phenomenal career. He's won 3 World Series. It's not like he's going to walk in and go, I have to change all the games to 5 o'clock because I can't stay up till 11:30 anymore. I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, it's funny to see it on the internet, but that's not going to happen. I'm going to give La Russa a chance with this because I know how good he is, and I know that he, in baseball, yes, you can have an older guy. Jack McKeon won the World Series with the Marlins in 2003. He was 72. So
look at what Dusty Baker just did.
This can happen. It's that just because he's not been a manager, he's been around the game, he's been doing things, and it's not like he's got to come in and go, okay, what are all these newfangled things that have been going on that I've missed the last year? What is I don't understand what's going on with when people go all small ball and everybody's 6'4 and under. I don't get that. What's that? You don't have to worry about that. It's baseball. It is time. Some of the things are just the same from 1980 as they are in 2020.
It's irksome. Yes, it's a 3-outcome league. Yes, we've changed it. And you talk about analytics. It's I think it was Andrew Brandt who tweeted about this, former executive in Green Bay, just said, you know, we used to call them trends. Now it's analytics and putting a shiny new tag on it and changing up how you're doing it. So for me, it's there's some reservations. Again, some of the stuff that I mentioned, if you want to bring all that in, then fine. But it showed Jerry Reinsdorf's in charge. Rick Hahn didn't feel all that great. He took like he was turning green when La Russa was talking about managing a bullpen by gut, because he was asked about the Kevin Cash work the other night, and he was very blunt about it, because gut is a big part of it. So we shall see. But I'm excited about it. Hey, let's go. It's better than the alternative, you know, the guy whose signature appeared. But we'll talk about that as the night goes on.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike Gets Swollen Dome. The Jason Smitzer with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Coming up next, got a big story out of the NFL coming your way. This is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
So Todd Gurley was supposed to get in the end zone this time. He does. Younghoe Koo misses the extra point.
Boo!
The Falcons lead the Panthers 25-17, 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Just how this is going to end with the Falcons giving it away, or just waiting to see how
this
writes itself. Just waiting to see how it writes itself.
Yeah, you asked, buddy. There it was. To put him up 9, he misses it.
Yep.
So now it's a 1 possession and a 2-point conversion. Here we go.
You know, we'll have more on this game coming up in a few minutes and more on Trevor Lawrence. But today, Dak Prescott spoke for the first time since all the craziness of the Cowboys the past few days. Jerry Jones telling people to shut up, and Andy Dalton's status for Sunday is questioned. And, you know, and we're going to have Ben DiNucci potentially making the start for the Cowboys against the Eagles. The thing is, Mike, I understand all of this, and there's no way the Cowboys should win this game. If they start DiNucci, look, the guy had, I think he completed 3 passes and got sacked 3 times.
Yep.
I get everything that's going on with the Cowboys, but I just can't. I just can't get out of my head that the Eagles are going to somehow screw this up and the Cowboys are going to win this game. I don't know how, because nothing logically should tell you that. But it's typical Eagles to do something like that. And I can absolutely say, whether it's Carson Palmer throwing like 3 picks, it's a bad game.
Wentz.
I can see, or Carson Palmer, that would be bad as well.
Well, if he could quarterback for the Cowboys next.
I could see Wentz throwing 3 picks, having a bad game. Somehow I can see the Eagles giving this guy, don't know how, but I can see them giving it away to the Cowboys.
No, I like the fact that you've got some trepidation. I hear it in your voice. It's certainly there. I'm going to tell you that's not happening. They're going to win, and they're going to win handily, and everybody's going to exhale because they don't have to worry about that sub-500 team being atop the division, right? It's going to start evening out, and the Eagles will go on their run. They'll start getting healthy, and everybody else will sink away like they're supposed to. It's all good, buddy. It's part of the big plan.
And what a day for Ben DiNucci. You know, the guy in his first start, 4 touchdowns in the first half, all to Michael Gallup, who was traded before the game and will go to the Jets right after this is over. There's a car outside ready to take him all the way to New Jersey. Let's take time out from this extra point for Farmer John Sausage. Now, I can see it happening, Mike. I'm telling you.
By the way, he was dropped in 99% of fantasy leagues with DiNucci at QB.
Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The biggest story of the night, rocking college football, is next on Fox.